welcome to the Free Gift Podcast, originating from the Free Gift Gospel Mission. The Free Gift Gospel Mission is an independent Bible-believing church preaching Jesus Christ as man's only provision for redemption and salvation. We are located at 1025 Maple Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, on the corner of Maple and Brook. This podcast is a Christ-centered ministry reaching out to souls with the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. Save me, buried, he carried my sins far away, rising, he justified freely forever. We'll eventually be in Matthew chapter 12, but it's needful this morning that we lay a foundation before we look at the scripture. I'm going to talk to you this morning about Watch your mouth. That's the title of the message today. It seems like we've got a little bit of a problem in the world today. And the problem is this. As church people, we feel like sometimes, since we have abandoned certain sins, we don't drink, smoke, do drugs, and all like that, then we can just say and do whatever we please in this life, and it's no big deal, and God's not upset by it, and it doesn't bother God in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So we could just poison the pool as much as we want to with the words that we say. And the answer to that is no, that's not how it works. Are y'all with me this morning?
Yes.
Amen. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. So let's put some things in perspective today. I've always been a pretty healthy guy. I've been hit in the face with a fist. I've been hit in the body with a fist in my life. I've been hit with a stick. I've had car accidents. I've had bicycle accidents. And all types of other painful things that I've endured inside of my life. But all of those wounds have one thing in common. They've all healed. But on the contrary, I still suffer today from wounds inflicted on me by what somebody said. I'd be willing to say that no doubt this morning every person in this room can testify to the fact that at some point inside of your life you were hurt physically, but you pretty well got over that. But there have been times when somebody hurt you with something that they said to you, and you still struggle with that today. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? The fact of the matter is this, and I guess I'll just come right out and level with you today. You can't fix it. Your mouth is just too much for you to handle. That's what the book of James has to say. Furthermore, the book of James tells us that you cannot get sweet water and bitter water out of the same fountain, but there's a lot of that that's trying to take place today. Why is that? Well, because that only happens when our mouths are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, is this for Christians or non-Christians today? The answer is both. This is for both Christians and non-Christians today. The mouth of a non-Christian is not under the control of the Holy Spirit of God because he or she is not yet a believer in Jesus Christ. But there can be times when a person can be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet for whatever reason, their mouth is not under the control of the Holy Spirit. And this is not something to be taken lightly. Either way, if you are a believer or a non-believer who just isn't paying attention to your personal holiness, you are inflicting damage, and you will be held accountable for that by God. Now, with that said, I want to give you two things this morning. And this won't cost you any extra. This is just a little something from your friendly neighborhood preacher this morning. First of all, I want to teach you a little prayer. And I've taught a lot of things from this pulpit over the last 11 or 12 years now. Things that I wished you would pray, such as this. When you wake up in the morning, I wish you would thank God for another day of life. Amen? I wish you would thank God for a salvation with a righteousness apart from the law, and thank God for deliverance from those besetting sins, and thank God for deliverance from impossible situations. I wish we all would get up in the morning and thank God for these things. Amen? Thank God for His deliverance. That would be a great way to start your day when you get up as a child of God. And if you could think of anything better, let me know. But until then, I think we ought to go with that. Amen?
Amen.
These are things that I've taught this church to pray in the past. They are scripturally based. They are based and founded in the Word of Almighty God. And as long as we're saying things that are based and founded in the Word of God, then we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we're standing on good ground today. Amen? I know that we're on good ground when it comes straight out of the Bible. And regrettably, I memorized certain passages long before I started applying them inside of my life. And one of them is this here. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for thou art my rock and my redeemer." So what do we need to cover out of that prayer? How about this? There's not going to be a 24-hour period in your life that you do not need to pray that prayer. As a matter of fact, if you're as carnally minded as a lot of people that I've been observing on Facebook lately, you don't need to go 24 minutes without praying that prayer. And what do we learn from that prayer? We learn that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are inextricably linked together. They are one and the same. They are two views of the exact same spiritual entity. And apart from prayer, that the Lord would cause the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart to be acceptable in the sight of God, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is our rock and He is our Redeemer, apart from that prayer, you're never going to get it straight. Apart from that prayer, we're never going to be right. And the second thing is just a little something I want you to apply. And it's found in Psalm 55, verse number 20. Let me read verses 20 and 21 from Psalm 55. "He hath put forth His hands against such as be at peace with Him. He hath broken His covenant. The words of His mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in His heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords." Have you ever met anyone who was slick and sweet and smooth on the outside, but over time it came to your awareness that they were always looking to get over on somebody? Have you ever met anybody like that? Well, you might say, "Well, Pastor, the Bible says not to judge people." Well, we'll talk more about that later. But listen to me very carefully this morning. In this same chapter, in the very same chapter that Jesus says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," in that very same chapter, Jesus also said, "You will know them by their fruits." You will know them by the fruit that they bear. And I don't think it's lost on us this morning that in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus speaks about making the tree good and the fruit that will be good, or making the tree bad and the fruit will be bad. That the tree is good or bad is based on the relationship that a person has with the Lord Jesus Christ, or the lack of that relationship. In order for us to bear fruit and to be a good tree that brings forth fruit to the Lord, you've got to have that saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a lack of that inside of your life, you're going to bring forth that bad fruit. Are you in or out? That's the question today. Are you in or are you out? Here's what you do when you're dealing with people. You need to make mental notes. Make mental notes to yourself about what they say, what they do. And regrettably, I'm giving you a little insight on how to deal with people today. Because there are always those who will say, "Lord, Lord," but just like we've been talking about here for the last 3 weeks, they don't do what He says to do. He said that Himself. And there are also people who will say, I am a Bible-believing Christian. I am trustworthy in every way. You could bet your wife, your wallet, and your car keys on me. And after a period of knowing them for about 6 months or 6 years, I wouldn't trust them any farther than I could throw them. You know why? Because they say one thing, but they do something else. They say one thing at church, but they say something else on Facebook. And over time, which is always the best way to assess fruit, over time you begin to notice some huge inconsistencies in what they say and what they do. So how do we fix it? How do we get to the point where our mouths and our topped words stop causing so many problems and stop reflecting an inconsistent relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or reflecting a lack of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I've got a few ideas for you today. And I suggest that we take these ideas from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12. Verse number 31 and verse number 32. Our Lord and dear precious Savior Jesus Christ is speaking here. And He says, wherefore I say unto you, pardon me, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Are you worried about having committed the unforgivable sin today? Because lots of people are. I have encountered many people in my life that will come to me and say, Pastor, I'm worried and I'm fearful that I have committed the unpardonable sin. And you know what I tell them? I tell them this. The very fact that you're concerned about it is proof positive that you have not committed the unpardonable sin, because people who are guilty of committing the unpardonable sin, they're not concerned about it one way or another. They couldn't possibly care less that they've committed the unpardonable sin, but people who acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the judge of the quick and the dead, and that they will answer to Him, and that they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they stand in need of His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness, and they are convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and they're looking for help, and they're striving to follow Christ. Amen. They've not committed the unpardonable sin. With that being said, today I want to make you aware of the fact that there are plenty of preachers out there. There are plenty of evangelists out there. Unlike the men that we have that preach in this church who have integrity, because if they didn't, I would stop asking them to preach. And there are some out there who will do anything to get over on somebody, to get you to sign a card, to get you to walk an aisle, because it makes their statistics look good. And sometimes they'll use these verses, but the Spirit in you bears witness with their spirit, and you can know what's happening. Look at verse number 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now, here's some politically correct, seeker-sensitive, make the sinner feel good and comfortable in church language. Are you ready for this in verse number 34? Because here it is. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Time out. Time out right there. Let me just say this. Family get-togethers are always something. Sometimes there's something good. Sometimes there's something bad. Sometimes you'd rather just hang out with people that you like.
Amen.
I heard another preacher talking about one of his family get-togethers where a relative jumped into his car when they were going to go run an errand. And in the course of that conversation, the relative got upset about something and he let out a string of cussing. He let out a bunch of expletives that would make a sailor blush. And the preacher said that this guy looked at him and said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I don't know where that came from." And I've had this happen to me a few times where someone will come around me and they'll let out a big old string of cussing. They'll let out a big bunch of expletives and then try to apologize and claim that they don't know where that came from. And I'm like, "Really? You're awful good at it to have never practiced this before." I've never quite heard that come from the mouth of somebody who was new at this. There's no such thing as "I don't know where that came from." It came from where you live. It came from your heart. It came from right here. It came from deep within you. That's where it came from. You will never convince me that people who use filthy language and talk filthy and post filthy stuff on Facebook that they don't know where it came from. I'll tell you where it came from. It came from often repeated, deeply ingrained word choices that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. That's where it came from. And so it is with you. And so it is with all of us. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whether it's the words you say or whether it's words you type on Facebook, because it's all the same thing. Verse 35. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Let me tell you something this morning, my dear friend. In the courtroom of God, the camera is always on. In the courtroom of God, the tape is always rolling. There is no inadmissible evidence. When you get down to the end of your life and we stand before God on judgment day, there will be no inadmissible evidence. We will give an account unto God for every idle word. That's what Jesus said. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. Do you know what idle means? It means lazy. It means useless, just like those idle men who stood at the marketplace, lazy, unemployed. It means not to the benefit of Jesus Christ. We'll give an account for every word that we've ever spoken that was not to the benefit of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. And by our words we'll be justified. And by our words we'll be condemned. What does that mean? Well, if you're looking for points this morning, here's one. It means that we must make a confession. Confession biblically means that you say the same thing that God says. Well, what did God say? God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Are you saying the same thing that God says this morning? Are you testifying in this world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He Himself shares in the one essence that is God and therefore is God? Or are you saying something different? Because apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness that comes apart from the law, thank God, that righteousness cannot be acquired. And without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for mankind. No hope outside of the righteousness of Christ. But Jesus said, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good." What does that mean? It means you get the filth out of your heart by Jesus Christ, and when Jesus Christ has cleaned that filth out of your heart, your words will be clean. You leave that rotten, stinking filth inside the heart, and those words will continue to be filthy and bad because a tree is recognized by the fruit that it bears. Garbage is as garbage does. If you have garbage coming out of your mouth, or if you have garbage coming out of your fingertips on Facebook, that is because that garbage is inextricably linked to the garbage that's in your heart.
That's right.
You must have a confession. There must be consistency today. A true confession of faith in Jesus Christ lives itself out in consistency. Garbage comes from garbage. But spiritual things come from the presence of the Lord inside of your heart. But you know, most Christians are familiar with the sin of the tongue. We're not looking for an adequate description of that problem. We're looking for the solution. The book of James tells us all about the sin of the tongue. So we know about that. If you're a Bible reader today, if you're not, read the book of James. It'll tell you all about the sin of the tongue. But we're looking for a solution today. And I want to tell you this morning, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I want you to understand this. Jesus Christ is the solution. Jesus Christ is the answer to slander. False things said to kill somebody else with words. Jesus Christ is the answer to gossip, which is saying things that don't need to be said because it gives a sense of power to disperse that information to someone else, and it gives you something for your evil heart and your evil mind to do. Jesus Christ is the solution for murmuring. Jesus Christ is the solution for backbiting. Jesus Christ is the solution for jesting today. If you don't want the joke to be told at church, then don't tell it in private. And here's another one. Judging hypocritically. That's right, because the Bible does not teach us not to judge. The Bible does not teach us not to judge. What the Bible teaches is for us not to judge hypocritically. How do I know that? Because Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse number 24, Jesus commanded His followers to judge righteous judgment. In today's churches, we've got far too many Pharisees. We need more grace-filled believers. We need more grace-filled people who get it. We need more people who have been saved by the grace of God and not by some legalistic compliance, and people who are willing to love much because they've been forgiven much. Amen. That's what we need today. We need people who's not going to lambast somebody else when we're guilty of the same thing that they are. That consistency will always be found in a heart that says yes to Jesus Christ. Four characteristics that I want to give you this morning about the speech of a righteous individual. You might want to jot these down, and I would encourage you to examine yourself to see if these are present inside of your life. Number one, that speech will be righteous. Speech will be righteous. That means that it will comply with the words of Jesus Christ and His teachings about what we are to say and what we're not to say. That's very simple. The speech of a born-again believer who is practicing obedience to God is going to be righteous. Number two, it will be unifying and not dividing. It will be unifying and not dividing. Now, I understand that Jesus said, I come to bring a sword, but that doesn't mean that you go out there and tear people down and cause discord. Amen? Okay? It does not mean you go out here and tear people down and sow discord. Number three, it will be encouraging and not discouraging. Number four, and here's a good one. And it really covers them all. Your speech as a Bible-believing Christian must be loving. It must be loving. It has to be loving. Love God with all you have. Formulate your words in the light thereof. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if it's not good for the building up of someone else, and if it's not good for their edification or the edification of the church, don't say it. Our sinful nature is present even after we become a child of God. And that sometimes will well up within us. And when that happens, the first place that it will manifest itself will be in your words. That's where it's going to be evident to other people. That's why the Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In other words, sin is not absent wherever there's many words being spoken. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't live in your heart, but what it means is this. If you go to talking too much without thinking and praying, you will inevitably reveal that sinful nature. Now I know this is not found in the Bible, but it's still true. The old timers back years ago had a little saying, and it goes like this. Boy, God gave you one mouth and two ears. And he did that for a reason. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Consistency. Consistency. I don't know where that came from, they say. Really? It came from your heart. It came from your walk with the Lord, or your lack of a walk with the Lord. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what needs to be fixed? Are you in need of a confession as Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior to change that filthy heart and your filthy mouth? If you have already received Him as Lord and Savior, then is your speech consistent with your confession of faith in Jesus Christ? Because there are consequences. Garbage comes at a cost. There are consequences. And that leads us to this. And that is condemnation. That garbage, that verbal filth and garbage will bring you down. When you do not have a confession of faith in Jesus Christ and live a life that is consistent with that confession, there is condemnation. Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Here's three phrases that I want to give you today, that each and every person in this building, we need to be able to say these three things. We need to be able to say these three things. If you can't say these three things that I'm about to give you right now,
hands that heal nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nest for me.
Thank you for listening to the Free Gift Podcast. If you would like more information about our church, please visit us online at www.freegiftgospelmission.wordpress.com. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. Morning worship is at 11 a.m. Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We are located at 1025 Maple Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, and we welcome all visitors. If you would like to correspond via email, you may email me, Pastor Vern Hall, at freegiftgospelmission@yahoo.com. Or you may write to Pastor Vern Hall, 3301 Martin Farm Road, Johnson City, Tennessee, 37601. We look forward to seeing you at the Free Gift Gospel Mission, where the gospel is preached and the Lord Jesus Christ is praised. Until next time, may God's blessings be upon you.